Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Last time we thought about why we needed to pray the prayer, Lord, break me. We considered the fact that we are already broken, but we're broken for the wrong things, and therefore we need to ask God to break us for the right thing. And we also spent time reflecting that if we want to grow, we need to be broken, and if we want God to work in us, we need to be humbled, which comes from us breaking. So having realised that we are already broken and that we need to be broken to see God at work in us, let us now stop and consider the blessing of brokenness, the joy that comes only from being broken by God and healed and mended in the ways that he planned for us. So firstly, let us consider the way that God redeems pain and tragedy and even death. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 to 44. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body, that will be but just a seed. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives it its own body. Not all flesh is the same. People have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies that are earthly, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendour of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendour of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendour, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendour. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So here Paul addresses the Corinthians regarding a question that had clearly been asked him about what happens when we die. What will our bodies look like? How will we be raised again? Quite natural questions, and ones that are still asked a lot today. People with lifelong disabilities often ask this question, questioning whether they will still have their disabilities in heaven, with various different desires about what they want to happen. But back on topic, Paul answers the Corinthians' questions, much like Jesus did, by using metaphor. In this case, bless me. In this case, the metaphor of a seed. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. The first part of verse 36 is particularly significant to our discussion on brokenness. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. God redeems pain and brings new life out of death. When we bury a seed in the ground, it is like we are putting it to death, but then it grows and sprouts new life. It becomes strong and healthy as it feeds off the nutrients and resources that allow it to grow. In the same way, when we are broken, we can allow it to turn us away from God, to truly die and decay. Or we can allow our brokenness to cause us to cling even more to God and to focus on our attention on him, which allows God to grow in us and to cause us to grow, for our brokenness to be redeemed and used for the glory of the kingdom of God. When my dad died, I remember quite a lot of people, both Christians and non-Christians, asking or even telling me things like, I bet you are asking God why. Why did God allow this to happen? Or even, are you angry at God? I'd be angry at God. I found myself getting quite tired and even frustrated at the constant questions, especially when they came from other Christians who were supposedly trying to help, but were just being annoying. Because the truth is, instead of getting angry with God or asking him why, I found myself thinking, well, why shouldn't it be me? Being a Christian doesn't mean we're spared from all forms of earthly pain. In fact, Jesus tells us that we will face many trials and troubles. James tells us to consider it pure joy when we face pain and difficulties. So of course we, as Christians, will face times of difficulty and pain. Instead of allowing my grief to cause me to fall away from God and to decay my faith, I found it causing my faith to grow. What I found I did most when Dad died was to cling even tighter to my Heavenly Father. It was as if I unconsciously realised that although my earthly dad was no longer around, and I could no longer turn to him for comfort, my Heavenly Dad was still very much around, and always present, so that I could cling to him and find comfort in him. I also clung to the truth of heaven more strongly before, because now I had to truly trust in the promises of eternal life for the sake of my dad. My dad's death definitely caused me to break in many ways. It was the first time I experienced death in a personal and painful way. I mean, of course, people had died around me before, but this was the first time that actually hit me hard. And it caused me to break as I began to realise the fragility of life. It didn't help that in the next 4 years I experienced the death of 4 other people close to me, so I found myself breaking. But as I was breaking, I clung to God more than I ever had before, and I felt as if he drew close to me and redeemed me from the pit. And so I found blessing even in the breaking, because for the first time I knew what it was to rely on God as completely as I did in those moments. I knew what it was like to feel God's presence so powerfully. It was like I was feeling a physical hug from him. It was in these painful moments that I know the blessing of hearing from God in a very tangible way. And in fact, I believe it was experiencing these difficult times that allowed me to be close enough to God to hear him calling me into ministry. Although I very much wish Dad and the other people were still with me and had not died, I can look back and see God's presence and God's blessing as he journeyed with me through those moments when I was most broken and in need of him. I love those verses in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 and 43. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonour, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. While these words are talking about death and resurrection, they are also true for our earthly lives now. Because when we give everything to God, he redeems them and transforms them. So when we turn away from our pride and honour and choose to honour God instead of ourselves, then we will find that God raises his name in glory. When we recognise our weaknesses and turn to find God's strength, then we find he gives us the power we need. God redeems our brokenness and blesses our pain. He uses those moments to develop our faith and to change our outlook, so we begin to see the world more through his eyes. Take a moment and look back at the times in your life where you have felt broken. Can you pinpoint moments in which you can see that God was moving? Even if you didn't see it or feel it at the time, can you see now where God was truly present with you? How did God redeem those moments of pain and brokenness? Perhaps you feel as if you're being broken right now. Seek God's presence. Try to find his presence resting with you, because he is always there. And let him place his arms around you. Let him redeem your brokenness and turn it into something beautiful. Secondly, when we allow God to break us, we find a fruitfulness that we didn't know we could gain. John 15, verses 1 and 2 says this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus reminds us that he is the vine, and that we are the branches. But he also says that the Father cuts off the branches that bear no fruit, and the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes. God prunes the fruitful branches so that more fruit can grow. When a gardener prunes a plant, they cut off parts of that branch that are not necessary so that more of the energy of the plant can be focused on growing fruit. God breaks us so that we will let him take away the things that are not fruitful, the things that are distracting us and causing us to move away from him. When we allow him to prune us, to break us, then we find that we are far more fruitful than we were expecting. Where does God want you personally to be more fruitful? Where does God want us as a church to be more fruitful? And where will he prune us? Can you think of areas of your life where you are putting energy into that isn't producing fruit? Maybe that might be somewhere God wants to prune. Are you willing to allow God to cut that part of you, to break you out of bad habits and allow you to focus your energies elsewhere? At the end of this video, I would like you to spend a moment in prayer thinking about these two questions. Where does God want you to be more fruitful? And where does God need to prune you? And thirdly, I want to mention that the world sees brokenness as something ugly and useless, something to be thrown away, disregarded, rejected. And this is perhaps more true now than it was in the past. We live in a disposable society. No longer do people adopt the mantra of make do and mend. Instead, if something is broken, it is thrown away and replaced. And unfortunately, this mentality often extends to the way people treat others. For example, in the workplace, if someone makes a mistake and costs the company money, many seem to choose to fire them first, ask questions later. Or a more ingrained example of this mentality is if we think about the way that those with disabilities are often looked down upon by others as broken, incapable, weak, and useless. Even the word disabled implies a sense of uselessness. People with disabilities are often discarded, rejected, and turned away. But things are different in God's economy. Nothing is useless. No one is useless. God treasures everyone, even and especially the so-called broken. Psalm 34 reminds us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. This means that when we are broken, it's when God is closest. Brokenness is attractive to God because it shows that we are open enough to let him close and let him work. When we are broken, God chooses us. He chooses to draw close to us and to shine in and through us. I'm reminded of the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by mending the cracks with golden or silver glue, called kintsugi. Kintsugi recognises that embracing flaws and imperfections can create a more beautiful and valuable piece. This wonderful art form demonstrates a very important reality. Broken things can be made beautiful if only we let the right artist work on it to restore it. God works in our lives to make the broken things beautiful. He can take our flaws, our imperfections, our weaknesses and our messes, and make them shine with his beautiful golden light. How can God make your brokenness beautiful?